Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 as in popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, 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 everybody. My name is Doug and I love movies. This is Doug Loves Movies. It's Sunday, June 5th, 2022. And my guest today, I'm just going to get right to it. There's no reason to fart around. My guest, apologize for using the word fart right before saying your name, Padgett Brewster, John DiMaggio, and Tommy McNamara. Welcome.
Thank you.
Hello, welcome. Let's meet them individually and alphabetically, starting with she's on a winning streak. It's our current ongoing champion, Padgett Brewster.
It is I, champion.
How has the last week been for you, champ? Have you been walking on air?
I was until I dropped an off-brand microwave egg cooker on my leg and gave myself a hand-sized second-degree burn. Other than that, I've been reveling in my my championship on Doug Loves Movies.
Second degree, did you have to go see somebody, or can you take care of that at home?
I'm not going to go anywhere. Well, I took pictures of it. And it's fine. I'm wrapping it in gauze, and then you walk around in your underpanties and let the leg dry out. And then so far the skin has not sloughed off, but it will at some point.
Oh my God. I hope people are eating. Oh, that is, I'm sorry to hear about that, because burns can be very uncomfortable, but it sounds like you're getting through it all right.
And, I think the problem will be when it gets infected.
Oh, okay.
I have that to look forward to.
Yeah, keep it clean, I guess.
I'm keeping it clean.
Yeah. What do you do? Like, pour some liquid plumber on? What do you do? Get some gasoline, maybe some rubbing alcohol. All right. Well, I hope you know how to take care of it, because I know you like to stay home.
Now I have a burn as an excuse.
Well, now you're back to try to win once again. And you got two, I believe, to be strong competitors deal with. Yeah, which is what Mayim Bialik's been saying every night on Jeopardy to the people trying to take down Ryan Long, who they still in the opening call, Uber driver. they still call him that in his introduction every time. And the man's won $250,000. He's not going to go back to driving an Uber. His job title should be Jeopardy winner. Instant celebrity. Cause he's been on long enough now that people recognize him. He's set. He's going to be fine. All that being said, it's been too long. He's been a busy, busy man, but the voice of every other cartoon character, the other characters that Padgett can't cover, it's John DiMaggio. Hey, John.
How's it going, Doug? I was crazy busy, but now I'm not busy, and I'm happy to be here.
That's how this works out, is that if you have the time to do it, you're going to have a good time. You're not sitting around saying no to a good time. You just have to do the voice of everything.
Yeah, pretty much. As you said, as you wrote to me and while we were emailing back and forth, you said, 90% chance of fun, which I'm all for, you know, that's all.
Yeah. That's a really good, prediction.
That's great. Hey, A- is way to go. That's all I'm saying.
For 10% of the time, the guest walks away going, what the fuck just happened? But every 90%, I think they have a good time.
I think that's what they usually say when anybody walks away from me. So, what the fuck just happened? So, yeah, everybody's in for
it. It was a good time.
Yapping. Yeah.
Shit. And we also have a first-time guest on the show. He's a contributor to the Onion Sports Network and co-host of a podcast that I have appeared on the one time, because that's how it works. You don't get invited back to you on your show. Maybe if I had another band to defend. It's called Stand By Your Band. It's Tommy McNamara.
Hello, Doug. I'm so happy to be here. And we'll definitely have you back if you want to come on.
I'd have to defend something else, though. See, the first time I went on, I defended Taylor Swift.
Yes, which was I was happy about, because I'm a big Swiftie myself. So,
what if I came back a second time and I defended formerly liking Taylor Swift because I didn't love her Western stuff, so I didn't really notice her until she moved into pop. Then I loved her pop stuff. Then whatever it is she's doing now, poetry set to sitars, is not doing it for me. You know what I mean? Like, I'm losing interest in Taylor, which maybe just means I'm growing up.
That's a lot more chill now. A lot of the new stuff, the Folklore and the Evermore. It's more relaxed with the tea. Chill.
Yeah. And it's, I used to think her lyrics were kind of clever, but now it's just words she said one afternoon into a journal.
Wow.
I'm still on Team Tay, but that's just me.
Okay. Well, I'm trying to stay on it. She's came out with something recently that seemed a little poppier. So I was happy to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and so she needs the support is the thing from us. So,
may I ask a question?
Mm-hmm.
Is there an anti Taylor Swift point of view on Stand By Your Band, or does Tommy have to take that position?
No, so basically, it's usually pretty positive, unless like we just did like Nickelback, and I couldn't really bite my tongue on that one. Like, mostly we try and help out the guests and like be supportive of their choices, but there are a few bands where I'm like, I'm sorry, man, I just can't do it.
Nickelback. Okay.
Poor Nickelback. They just can't catch a break.
So I'd like just as an experiment, because I do think it's such an interesting thing for each guest on Stand By Your Band. You know, it doesn't have to be like the best band or the worst band, but just one that for some reason you're sort of embarrassed, or maybe people think you should be embarrassed for liking them. And, either a singer or a band, who do you think you would stand by, Padgett?
That people would not like?
Yeah, like, what do you like that's like you think it's a guilty pleasure because people around you are like, oh, that sucks.
Well, there might be people who don't like Flock of Seagulls or Duran Duran, but fuck them.
I was just reading the other day somebody saying Duran Duran never is and never will be rock and roll. And I just threw my phone in the river.
Uh-uh. Aren't they nominated for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Yeah, and that's why somebody's tweeting that. But it just gets my dander up that, like, how long do those guys have to be around, and how... You know, they were so insanely popular for a time,
didn't
like break up or become weirdos.
And mind you, the bass player and the guitar player helped to form Power Station with Tony Thompson and Robert Palmer, and they had a bunch of hits.
Oh,
there's a lot. Duran Duran, they did it. They did a Bond theme. They did everything. Everything. Yeah, that's a good.
See, you're good at this. Who would you defend?
Who would I defend? Chicago. Yeah.
Oh, okay. We had Jimmy Pardo came out and did that. It was a lot of fun.
I would say, sure. I could totally hear Jimmy Pardo talking about it. The fucking trombone player is corny as shit. But God damn it, that guy comes on stage with his sleeveless denim shirts and he fucking brings it down, man. You can't fucking shit. Come on.
Somebody needs to marry the audio of you and Jimmy Pardo saying the same exact thing. Although Jimmy, I think, is a little more in on them. I don't know if he'd call them corny, but he would certainly make fun of that particular clothing choice.
Multiple fucking hits. Even the guy who replaced Peter Cetera had multiple hits before joining the band. Like, he fucking wrote Earth, Wind, and Fire. He's written like so many hits. I forget his name. His name escapes me right now. But,
I feel like DiMaggio should go on your show and just angrily rant about every band that needs to be defended.
Tommy, we got
to
hook up.
I love it. Yes.
Yeah, Tommy, do you have a list?
Yeah.
I bet you, Tommy, put together with your co-host, Tom Takkar, you could put together a list of people that you've thought, that somebody should come on and defend this, but they never have. A list of those.
And DiMaggio just bangs it out.
Yeah.
DiMaggio, go through one by one, explain why they're so
just
great.
Just a power round, yeah.
I'll do it. I'm in.
I love it.
Count me in. And I'm not angry. I just come across as angry. It's just terrible.
No, I love it. It's impassioned, but there's a level of rage against some strange person that you feel won't support your support.
Yeah, no, that's exactly it.
I love it.
Totally hit the nail on the head right there. Because I'm not.
Already mad at the replies.
Yes. Yeah. Or incredibly angry at the reply. Incredibly. Because I know it's coming. Oh, goodness.
Oh, I miss you, DiMaggio.
I know. I miss you, too.
Oh.
All right, Tommy. I don't miss you, but I'm going to. I feel like over time.
Just met you.
It's too soon. Well, we did the Taylor Swift thing. It's probably been a few years now. It was pre-Pando, I think. But it's great to have you here. And we do this to the guests on every episode. So Padgett, who has just been on a couple episodes in a row, cause she keeps winning. She knows what's coming. We like to visit what I call Recommendation Nation. And that's where each one of my guests recommends, or if you want, defends one movie. I've stolen the premise of your show, Stand By Your Band. And I would say Stand By Your Film. Because oftentimes our favorite films are, you do have to defend them to other people. Padgett, what do you have for us this week? What would you like to recommend?
Well, I've only seen one movie since we did the show last week.
Would you recommend it?
I guess so, but everyone's seen it. It's the original Top Gun, because you taught me what the word jingoistic meant.
Uh-huh.
And so I wanted to see... it is very sort of xenophobic and exclusionary. And there's one black guy that is the replacement for Goose that he yells at. So, yeah. I mean, it's a classic.
Well, let me ask you this about it. Because I've seen it again recently under the lens of, you know, watching it with an audience. And I do what we call a Benson movie interruption, where we sit there and just make comments during it. And so it makes movies that are perfectly fine seem kind of terrible, because there's just so much you can make fun of when watching a movie like that, especially in the case of this one, the homoerotica is off the charts. And not to mention the passion for just the American idea of killing the other, you know?
Yes.
So it's just very macho, but at the same time, you know, it's like most gay bars probably play the volleyball scene in montages that played, you know, on the TV screen.
Yeah, I did not remember that. And it's they're very oily.
Yes, they are very oily.
You were right about that. But I didn't think Val Kilmer was so bad. So like, he peeled off early and it, you know, caused a wind tunnel, but I don't know.
Can you imagine being suddenly serenaded by that song by a bunch of fucking sailors in a bar, and you're sitting there by yourself?
Oh, the worst.
It's a nightmare.
The worst. So would I recommend it? I don't know.
But here's what happened. Here's what happened, Padgett. I haven't seen it yet, but by all evidence on the table, Top Gun Maverick
right.
has taken all of those things out of the movie.
Yeah, and apparently great.
And even given more agency to the woman who plays his romantic interest and got her more in the ballpark age-wise than most Tom Cruise movies.
Correct.
And everybody says it's the best movie they've ever seen.
Yeah, people are saying it's way better than the original Top Gun. So I wanted to watch Top Gun because I just didn't remember it after we did Doug Loves Movies last week. I was like, I really should see that. I don't even remember. I don't remember this volleyball scene. Now I'll never forget it. But
yeah, and they also hit.
I've heard they replaced all the volleyball scenes with prostate. I mean, behind closed doors and everything like that. But you know, you got to see the before and after face. So that's what I heard that they did in Top Gun Maverick.
It's the right age range.
The Navy thing.
It's all a bunch of, you know, it's Maverick is teaching a whole new crop of young studs. So it's like, it's just young a whole studs. New, yeah. And I think it's probably more racially diverse. And I think they just did everything right. But I'm still wondered why, I still wonder why I'm going to be concerned about whether or not Tom Cruise lives or dies, you know, as a dramatic structure. Cause I thought I found Maverick very unlikable in the first movie.
Well, he's not going to die now. Isn't it the highest grossing movie for a weekend ever?
No, I'm saying the movie doesn't have any suspense because Tom Cruise isn't going to die. And if
you
he
know
does,
he's not
going to
die.
Care.
I see. Oh.
Whereas in the first film, it is a gut punch when Goose dies.
Yes.
Because Goose is the only joy and normalcy in that film. Mm-hmm. He's the only person playing a real flesh and bones character. Mm-hmm. And he's got a young Meg Ryan as his wife who's like insanely hot for him for some reason. She's super into being married with him. They have like a super baby. Like they're the Incredibles.
Yes.
And then he dies. And then we have another hour of movie to go.
You're not worried about that for Maverick. Top Gun 2. Maverick.
That's what I'm saying. Nobody's going to die of interest in Maverick. And also there's going to be no, I heard, now correct me if I'm wrong, but I heard the enemy is Iceland. Like, I feel like they made up a conflict with a place that we wouldn't have a conflict.
We would never have a fight with. Right.
Yeah.
What? Iceland?
I swear that's what I'm trying not to read about the movie because I do want to see it, you know, and not, I want to go into it cold, but Iceland. Also I'm going to go into it very cold apparently because Iceland. Although Iceland is green and Greenland
Iceland
is
green, yeah.
I go see that movie in the movie theater, and it turns out that Iceland is the bad guy. I'm gonna say out loud, "Get the fuck out of here," and leave. Throw up my popcorn in protest and apologize to the guy going out.
I just feel like it's going to be another one of those things where I'm going to be on the wrong side of it because everybody loves it so much. I think talking shit about it, it's not going to go over well, but you know, I'm going to be honest once I see it, but sure. I just haven't seen it yet. So John, what do you think from all that discussion? What do you think you'd like to recommend to people to watch? Sincerely,
everywhere, all at once.
Oh my goodness, that keeps coming up.
I still haven't seen it.
I just think it's absolutely unbelievable. Michelle Yeoh is so fantastic.
Yeah, she's so good.
And she's a wonderful actress. She's like really, really wonderful. And she does everything in this film. It was originally written for Jackie Chan, and he turned it down. And they rewrote it for her. And it's brilliant.
Which makes it better on so many levels.
Oh my God, totally. Totally makes it so much better.
You still got Jackie Chan in there because that's what Ke Huy Quan is doing.
Yes, exactly, and he's amazing
and doing it brilliantly. He's got like three different personalities in that movie. We haven't seen him act in shit since he was a kid.
I know. And Jamie Lee Curtis, holy shit, unbelievable, good, so good. And it you just got to see it. And the premise is incredible. You'll get lost for a second, and then all of a sudden you'll go. Oh my God. And it blows your mind. It's so
good. It's like seeing the first Matrix. Like, you know, you're like, well, you're exactly. It's a little foggy, but you know, once it comes together, it's still foggy, but in a really fun way.
But it is so good. It is so good. That's what, you got to go check that out.
I can't wait.
Go check it out.
Yeah, in theaters now, like, well, one of those movies that keeps staying in theaters because the word of mouth has been so good. It, like, yeah, you know, it didn't come out of the gate as strongly as it should have.
But it's so good.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Tommy?
Hey. I'm gonna recommend, I saw another theater movie. I saw The Northman. I really liked The Northman.
Oh my goodness, God. The fucking Northman.
What is it?
It's what Skarsgård, Stellan Skarsgård plays.
Alex Skarsgård.
Yeah, not Alexander, not the dad. Not the elder Skarsgård. Not to be confused with, what's the other one? Is Peter Sarsgaard.
Or the Sklar brothers. Yeah, it's
all cool. Yeah, there's so many tricky ones.
Or the
ones there.
Sklars.
Anything. I mean, Norway's got some tricky. So anyway, he stars as the Northman, and it's a Viking movie, Padgett.
Oh.
From the man behind The Witch and The Lighthouse.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
Two of the most beloved, the most beloved creepy-ass movies
Of all time.
He's got such a following. They're creepy, not scary, really. Oh. They're creepy. They show you things you don't necessarily want to see, but it's still compelling, and he captures time and place very well, and on a smaller budget with The Witch and then a little more with The Lighthouse. But then now, with a lot of money, what he's done is not only capture a time and place, and the sets are amazing, and like the production design is incredible, but it's also insanely violent. Yes. It is just... there are scenes of nonstop graphic mayhem where this Northman, he's just a murdering machine. He's John Wick of the Viking times. Oh. And, you know, if you like that sort of thing, it's amazing. And if you don't, it's going to be a rough ride.
Mm-hmm. And Nicole Kidman's really good in it.
Yeah, she's really good. Yeah. It's got a really good cast. And they all just really... commit themselves. Like his first movie, The Witch, everyone was pretty much unknown, the actors, so it almost felt like a documentary about, you know, horrible, you know, women being burned at the stake times. And then Lighthouse was black and white. The photography is, like, you know, beautiful in some moments and ugly in others, and it's got only Robert Pattinson and Willem Dafoe together in a lighthouse.
Oh, jeez.
So yeah, so you can already imagine.
That sounds exhausting.
It is, but that's how I feel about his movies. While I'm watching them, it's not the time of my life, but it's something I'll be talking about for the rest of my life. You know, like they make an impression. And the Northman is just what happens when you give somebody with that sensibility a ton of money.
Wow.
Because it is really, he spent a lot of money on some, you know, being able to rip limbs off of people and have blood spatter everywhere and look realistic. It's not like over the top, really. Okay. These are great recommendations, and we got to get to the game portion of the show. Actually, we're right on schedule. This is good. Got a lot of quick talkers on the show today, and we'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
We're back, and I want to play a game.
Doug loves movies.
Oh, yes. For those just joining us, as I like to point out sometimes on a podcast where people rarely, I guess if someone fast forwards through the recommendations part, like I'm sure some people don't want to hear from my guests or me about, you know, what they recommend at any given point in time, you know, like some people don't seek out movies that way. But for those who do, I think it's informative and fun. Hello?
That was fun.
Oh, shit.
Everybody left. Oh, my God. Those commercials were too much to bear. Is there nothing this show won't sell or jam down our throats? Oh, my God. I need a beverage after that. I got quite cotton mouth. Speech gave me cotton mouth. We're going to play a new game that I just made up that's super fun. You ready, Tommy?
I'm ready.
Hey, let me ask you this, especially with a couple of professional voice actors in the crew today. Has anybody seen the Bob's Burgers movie?
No.
I haven't.
I have not.
Tommy?
No, not yet.
Perfect. All right. So we're going to play a game called Which Belcher Belched It?
Ugh.
I saw the Bob's Burgers movie.
Okay.
I loved it. So let's play a game involving some of its beloved characters. I'll say a quote from the Bob's Burgers movie, and you tell me if you think it was said by which one of the three children, Louise, Jean, or Tina. For anyone who's maybe confused about which is which, Louise wears the rabbit ears and is voiced by Kristen Shaw. And Gene is the round little boy voiced by Eugene Merman. And Tina is the girl, you know, just teetering on the edge of teenagerhood and full of, her head is full of boys. And she is voiced by an adult man named Dan Mintz.
Stellan Skarsgård.
It's a very funny comedian whose delivery on stage is just like Tina, that character. It's the same. So if you close your eyes, you can imagine it's Tina saying his adult jokes. All right. Does everybody understand the premise?
Yes.
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 All right. We'll start with Padgett. If she misses, then John gets a shot. And if he misses, then Tommy gets what I call the gimme point. Because you only have to name the third one that need the other two guessed. But each time somebody gets a point, the next round starts with the next player. So everybody gets a chance. Here's the first round. Padgett?
Yes.
Who said, babies come out of holes, they don't go into them?
Gene.
That was fast. Why do you think it's Gene?
Boy.
A boy would say that?
Yes.
A boy would say, babies come out of holes. They don't go into them?
That's my guess.
That is incorrect. That is incorrect. I probably shouldn't have asked follow-up questions. It might have helped your competitors. John,
what do you think? It's the oldest sister. No, it's the youngest sister. The youngest.
You're saying it's Louise?
It's Louise, yeah.
With the bunny ears?
Yes.
And the... just sassy attitude.
Yes.
That is correct.
Hey, wow.
John, you did it. You're on the board. You've got a point. This next one starts with Tommy. Oh, I should say, just because these are going to be out of context, if I can remember the context, I'll tell everybody. Babies come out of holes, they don't go into them. Or because she's everybody's teasing her, calling her a baby because she continues to wear those rabbit ears all the time. And they keep calling her a baby, and she's someone suggests that she climb into the sinkhole that's developed in front of the burger shop, and that's why she says babies come out of holes, they don't go into them. I don't think I'm going to be able to come up with the context of this next one. Tommy, you get to go first. Which one, Louise, Jean, or Tina said everyone be less moist?
That feels like something I can picture Eugene Merman yelling, so I'm going to say Gene.
you could picture him yelling it, because that's like his, yeah, that's his line readings all the time. He's, mm-hmm. Gene is always yelling, and it's generally hilarious.
Yes.
So that's who you're going with, is Gene, for Everyone Be Less Moist.
Yes.
That is correct.
All right.
Tommy is also on the board. And I think that's when they get, I think it's too much of a spoiler to say why he says everyone be less moist, so I'm not going to get into it. Round three starts with Padgett. If you get this one, Padgett, you will force a three-way tie and a fourth tie-breaking round. If you don't get it, this is John or Tommy's game.
Yep.
Which one said, son of a butt? Is it Louise, Jean, or Tina?
Tina.
You're going with Tina. Why do you pick Tina?
Why?
Yeah, you have a reason? Is it because Jean and Louise have already been answers?
A little bit.
Yeah, is that what you're doing? You're trying to play the game? You're trying to rig the system?
Because
it hasn't come up yet?
Trying to use the system for me.
Yeah, and it worked. That is correct. We have a three-way tie.
Ah.
Terribly exciting, but John gets to go first. So he has a shot at breaking the tie and winning the game by just telling me which of these characters, Louise, Jean, or Tina, said, wham, bam, goodbye, clam.
That's Tina.
You think Tina said, wham, bam, goodbye, clam?
Actually, wait a minute.
Okay. I can wait about 40 seconds.
Oh, shit. One. That sounds like something either a boy would say or an oldest. Yeah. Shit.
You've narrowed it down to Gene or Tina?
I've narrowed it down to Gene or Tina. I'm going to I'm going to go with my first instinct. I'm going to go with Tina.
You're sticking with Tina.
Yeah.
Well, you know what they say about first instincts, John? They say, trust them.
Hey! Well,
damn. It is Tina. It's so fun to hear somebody try to talk themselves out of the correct answer. It's delicious suspense. But John, you won that game. It's been a minute since you've been on Douglas Movie, so I need to warn you that the only thing you won is that you get to go first in our next game, but there is it does give you a advantage that I'll explain.
That's a good thing. I'll take it.
All right. And then, of course there's no prizes at the end of the show either, other than you get to come back on the show again. So basically it's like if I hired you to work and if you did a good job, I would have you come back and do more of that work and pay you for none of it.
Right. Got it.
That's what's going on here. All right. So we got to go to a commercial break, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are back, and we were talking during the break, and we all decided that we are having the most wonderful time on this Sunday afternoon.
We are.
It's so much fun. It's so much fun. You're all going to love this next game so much. It's a little more violent than I would like, but for some reason, just when I'm trying to think of silly things, my head goes to violence. I guess it's just, you just sort of grown up on it. I was speaking of cartoons, cartoon violence, you see cartoon characters really give it to each other all the time. So, it just sort of becomes part of your DNA that it's hilarious. Like this fucking, the clip show, the funniest America's Funniest Home Videos is still going strong. It's not a huge hit anymore, but it's still on all the time.
Sure.
And it's still just, if you just take a second and watch it, just like when you're going through social media, people falling down can be pretty funny. As long, you know, I just hate the ones where it looks like they get, you know, hurt very badly. But, you know, then that's, is it, is that some sort of, you know, am I attaching a stigma to people who get more fucked up?
I don't know. It's human behavior. I mean, I burned my leg.
You want to see somebody get up after a hilarious fall. Yes. You want to just see him stand right back up.
I want to see people face plant on really soft shit. It's like, I want them to have like, you know, yeah, they're, you know, they, you know, rearrange their spine, but they're going to get up because it was all soft.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I would never want to deal with one, especially at this point, but a ball pit is fun to watch people fly into because it's, you know, they're not going to get hurt at all, but it would still feel weird. I would think, I don't know if it would feel like good.
Belly flops
into a,
it's also the best thing to watch on an airplane when you haven't bought a headset because their sound effects are never really very good. You just want the video component.
Perfect. Right. Yeah. And you know, the copy that they write for the host to say, you know, if he's not doing his dance from the old Fresh Prince show, I'm out. All right. So sorry, Alfonso Ribeiro. He's a good game show host. I think he's a good host. All right. Dug myself out of that hole. Kid. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. We love Alfonso Ribeiro. All right. So I love him so much. I'm probably overpronouncing his name. So the game we're going to play, John DiMaggio, where you get to go first.
Yeah.
Is something I call Filmily Feud. And if we were the kind of show where the games had little theme songs, you'd hear that. And we'd be off to the races. It's just like Family Feud, but it's questions semi-related to film. Again, I look at these and go, I don't know if these are film questions or not, but they do involve actors and actresses and movies. So yes, okay we're going to call these film questions.
Okay.
I would do is I would do much like the show Family Feud. I would go out and poll people. And when I got more than 100 responses, I'd write down the percentages and then erase them from social media in case any of you were traipsing around any of my accounts. And then just to keep it fair, you know, because then nobody would cheat on purpose, but sometimes you can't help notice stuff. So that being said, since he won the first game, John gets to go first in the first round. If it comes to the point of a tiebreaker, he'll get to go first there. So that's what really worked out for Padgett last week, is we were playing a similar game where getting to go first in that tiebreaker got her the win.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you're in the old catbird seat, as they say, John, but I wish they'd stop saying it because cats should leave birds alone. Tommy, does all that make sense to you?
Yes, it does. The whole catbird thing, yeah.
Okay.
Nice.
For each of these first two questions, I asked something and then supplied four answers. That's one twist of Family Feud. I just gave them answers to choose from.
Mm-hmm.
And so I will read them all to you, John, the question, and you get the first choice of which one you think got the highest percentage, and then whatever percentage they got is what goes on the scoreboard under your name. Great. And then from the remaining three, Tommy gets to pick, and from the remaining two, Padgett gets to choose.
Okay.
You'll each get a chance to go first once, so it's really fair, but also very random.
All right.
Here's the question. Out of these 59-year-old actors, which one would win in a knife fight? Would it be Tom Cruise, Bob Odenkirk, Wesley Snipes, or Larry the Cable Guy? They're all 59 years old. They're all still active in action films. Maybe one of them's in inaction films.
I would say straight
off. Can I say one thing before you answer?
What?
So that everybody gets to hear it before they all guess.
Okay.
It's important to remember the behavior of individuals on Twitter.
Yeah.
When given a poll on Twitter, you can't expect people to answer with some sort of sincerity. and they have their biases.
Yes.
Stop it.
Okay. Yeah. So it's really, really tricky to figure out. But go ahead. Who do you think of those four? Do you want me to repeat them?
No.
Which one do you think?
I think the actor that actually played the role of a guy named Blade would get the most votes.
Oh, I see. Because it's a knife fight. I see.
Nice.
I would go with martial artist Wesley Snipes.
Mm-hmm. So you'd go differently if I'd have written a question out differently, like a fist fight where you'd go on somebody else.
Fist fight, I would still go with Wesley Snipes.
Yeah.
I'd still go with Wesley Snipes.
Okay. All right. So Tommy, of the remaining three, Tommy Cruise, Bobby Odenkirk, or Lawrence the Cable Guy.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to kind of use the logic of what you're saying about these internet polls. I'm going to think maybe there's some trolls getting in on these polls and they're going to vote in Larry, the knife guy, as they call him.
Damn it.
Okay.
Do they call him that?
Larry Knife Fight is what it really goes by these days.
Oh, Larry Knife Fight?
Yeah, but he's not getting as much attention for some reason.
Larry Bowie?
Yeah.
Or Bowie? Is it a Bowie knife or a Bowie knife?
A Bowie knife or a Bowie knife, because nobody's ever gotten that straight.
Wow.
And I mentioned Jeopardy would accept both. I mentioned they're both acceptable. You know what I mean?
Yes.
All right. Padgett, you're left with the scraps. You're just left with 259-year-old white dudes who aren't known for their. Did you see Bob Odenkirk in the film Nobody? That's why I thought of him.
I did. And
amazing.
He's outstanding. I like him as a person.
Mm-hmm.
But I think people would say, I think people will still consider Odenkirk too funny and too cerebral. And they will go. They would go with Tom Cruise. Also, knowing that he had a heart attack during the last season of Let's Call Saul. Better Call Saul. Let's call him?
Somebody call
what
Saul.
Is it?
Why aren't you calling Saul?
Yeah, get Saul on the horn.
Would you please call Saul?
Saul on line one.
So, Saul is calling. Are you answering? Sorry.
Okay. So I think they would go with. I think they would go with.
They'll go with Saul. Why not Saul? I don't know.
Okay, I forgot what's happening, but it's the having fun is the important part. No, I have your scores. Would you like to hear how this shakes out?
There's a guy on the phone named Saul.
Yes, please.
Why aren't you calling Saul?
Somebody should have called Saul because
you know what that voice reminds you of the guy that used to be on television until like 2 o'clock in the morning. Like, why are you up this late? Are you high? Are you drunk? You got to work in the morning.
This is Chris Christie.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Hi, I'm former governor in New Jersey. Chris Christie. No, anyway.
Somebody should have called Saul.
Padgett is choosing Tom Cruise.
If somebody had called Saul, they would have gotten more points than somebody else because he did come in third in this poll.
But
I'll tell you, I'll start at the bottom. I'll start with the bad news. Only 6% went with Larry the Cable Guy.
Larry the Knife Guy got nothing?
Larry the Knife Guy. The word just is not out on his knife skills yet, even though he's out there day and night just cutting things up. And then 24% went to our friend Bob Odenkirk. Wow. And then Tom Cruise got 27% of the vote. So that's 27% under Padgett's name. And, you know, if you can do the math, as they say, that leaves 43% for Wesley Snipes. John, you're now in the lead with 43% or 43 points.
Wow, that is wild stuff.
Yes.
Wesley Snipes.
But Tommy gets to go
tax
first.
Evader. Have you heard
of Tommy? Got a hill to climb here.
First in this next one. So whatever you do, don't cut off your flossing.
Somebody call Tommy. Will you please? All right.
Tommy, here's the question I asked. I had knife fights on my mind. I started thinking about what a macho dumbass question that was. It's all about the patriarchy and whether they can beat each other up. And also, I didn't say what they would be up against in a knife fight. I said, who would win in a knife fight? Is there four names? You don't even know what they're fighting.
I don't care. Wesley Snipes.
Is it just a round delay? All four of them are all fighting.
I'm going to say Wesley Snipes for the next question. So I don't even care.
Okay, there's no write-in votes. Hopefully he's one of the options.
Okay,
no.
I'm sorry.
I went with a softer, gentler question. I said, who would win in a spoon fight? Ooh. And the options I gave were Ariana Grande, Gwyneth Paltrow, Martha Stewart, or Oprah Winfrey.
So I'm going to go right off the bat with Martha Stewart. She probably was in a couple spoon fights in prison, so she knows what she's doing, and that's my choice.
I don't think she'd. I don't think she'd settle for a spoon. I think she'd turn a spoon into a knife.
She's crafty.
Yeah, that's where I'm at with her. All right, so you're taking Martha off the board. Padgett, that leaves Gwyneth Paltrow, Goop, or Ariana Grande, the popular pop singer, or Oprah Winfrey, who is an anointer of gods.
I think it's Oprah Winfrey. I think it's definitely Martha Stewart, but the next best number will be Oprah Winfrey.
That's the trouble with these games. It's like, yeah, you know, sometimes you get boxed out. There's nothing you can do but hope for the best. But we'll see what happens when John chooses between Ariana or Gwyneth.
Yeah. You know, Ariana Grande is feisty and she's tiny, but, she can listen. If she dated Pete Davidson, then that means she can take it. So listen, I'm saying that she's working a spoon. I'm saying she's working a spoon better than what's in the box. Come on. What's in the box?
Gwyneth Paltrow. Yeah. But,
I'm going to Ariana Grande.
So, do you think anyone that answered this poll took that much time to think about it?
No, they didn't. I've had way too much time to think about this because I'm going third.
You put a lot of thought into it.
Yeah, I mean, and, I got no other choice.
All right. Well, we'll see. We'll see whether your choice is right or not. Right okay. now, when I tell you, when I spill the information that Gwyneth Paltrow did indeed get the smallest amount of the vote.
Yes.
With a mere 5%.
Dodge that bullet.
Yeah. Larry. Yeah. So people are just like, they don't trust how she'd be with spoons. And, you know, I bet you she can't play spoons either.
No.
I bet you she can't fight with them and also does not know how to put two together and make a funny sound on her. You don't really hit it on your knee, right? You hit it like just above the knee.
Yeah. And it's two of them.
Yeah. You take two spoons and you put them together in an unspoon-like manner. They don't exactly. get to spoon. They don't get to spoon.
Yes.
I feel like the DiMaggio could do that. Can you do you that?
Know, I wish I could. I can't.
I feel I like
can't.
That. Oh,
I know.
It seems like your instrument.
It seems like I should be able to play spoons and mouth harp.
Yeah, yeah.
I dare anybody who has two spoons. Anybody with two spoons, I defy you to not go ahead and go get those spoons when this is over, or maybe even pause it and just go get some two spoons
and try
and experience the sensation of the weird percussion you can make by slapping it between your hand and your leg.
Can you do it, Doug?
And you have to throw in an occasional yeah. What?
Hillbilly maracas.
I think so, because they also used to. And maybe they still do, like in music stores or something. I'm not a musicologist, but like. They used to just attach two spoons together or like put rubber bands around them or something. So you didn't even have to hold them together. They'd be just together. And then you just, you know, smack them.
Soundgarden had that song Spoon Man.
Spoon Man. Mm-hmm.
Guy played mm-hmm. spoons.
Yeah.
You got a guy who he played spoons like all over his body. And, you know, cause you could pretty much, you know, hit any part of your body and could figure out how to make different sounds with different, more hollow or more full areas, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's always an education here at Doug Loves Movies.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell I'm talking about.
Who came in third?
Yeah, who?
I'll tell you right now who came in third. And that is little Ariana Grande.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, with a mere 10%. Yeah. Of the vote. She got 10% of the vote and 90% of the parts. and our pal Oprah Winfrey, and I like saying things like that, like our pal Oprah. None of us has even met her, right?
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show, Oprah Winfrey. Frequent guest Oprah Winfrey. Those shows were behind a paywall, so don't worry about it.
Executive producer, Oprah Winfrey.
Yeah, our producer of the show. God, we couldn't have done this 15 years. We couldn't have done it without Oprah. Thank you to everyone at Harpo. Oprah Winfrey got 20%.
God damn it.
Yeah.
What the fuck? That's bullshit.
Yeah, so Martha Stewart happening? Got 75%?
That's bullshit.
She got, well, you know, you're close. But thanks for trying. 65%.
All right. I'm back in it.
Yeah. No, you're more than back in it.
You're in the fucking lead.
God damn it. Lead with 71.
Bullshit.
And Don has 53 and Padgett has 47. This is exciting. This is this is exactly how this should be going. Because it's gonna be the winner is just going to be within 10, I think, points of each other is how this is going to shake out. That's my prediction. All right. So now I don't know where my mind really started going off in a weird direction after those first two stupid questions. And Padgett gets to go first on this one.
Yeah.
I wrote down best at plunging a toilet.
Oh. Okay.
Right. So you think celebrities, you already start to think, well, they're not going to be great at it because they probably have people that do that for them. Or they certainly have maybe done it earlier in their lives, but now they're over it. They don't plunge their own shit.
Who do you name? Who are
here
you
are
the, going
here
to
are
name?
Your options, Padgett. Yep. Dame Judi Dench.
Uh-oh.
Dame Helen Mirren.
Uh-oh.
Wow.
Dame Maggie Smith.
Uh-huh.
Or Sir Ian McKellen.
I'm going to go with Helen Mirren. Helen Mirren.
You're taking Helen Mirren.
Will plunge. Well, she has a home with her husband in New Orleans that is, they bought it and they fixed it up. So I think she has more recently plunged a toilet.
Interesting. I mean, you got receipts on that one.
Well, it was, an article and
they recently fixed up a home.
Well, 20 years ago, but that's recent enough for a dame. Sure. For anyone knighted.
Right. Because when you're putting together a home, the first thing you have to do is plunge that toilet.
There's so much crap
in that toilet from when you build it from the ground up. Okay.
I think she's the people's dame. I don't think anyone thinks Maggie Smith is plunging a toilet.
Okay. All right.
Or, I'll be quiet. Gentlemen, what are your guesses?
You can't help them out too much with their opinions.
I'll shut up.
John?
This is a tough one, man. This is a really tough one.
I think it is. I'm shocked at how quickly
you look at. Listen, if you look at Judi Dench,
tough.
Now you're like, meh. But if you thought about her 10 years ago and before, you'd be like, oh shit, she's definitely
plunging a toilet. Yeah,
definitely plunging a toilet. But then again, Sir Ian seems like he is not averse to taking care of business when it comes to This is this is actually tough. And what's her face? Who used to do stuff with Carol Burnett? What's her name?
Funny would it be? I would be so funny to see Magneto plunging his toilet by shooting electricity from his hands into the crapper. Wow.
I think I'm going to go with Ian McKellen. Ian McKellen.
All right. It's your decision.
Wow. All
right.
Mm-hmm. What you got to do. I didn't say it's your funeral. I said it's your decision.
That's wow.
There's a big difference.
Jesus.
Tommy.
Doug, there's an old saying in show business. When there's a stench, you call Dench.
Wow. That. Wow.
588-8200.
That's Stand serious.
Fire.
I'm glad there isn't an actor's last name that rhymes with toilet. That would have been
awful. But we all agree Maggie Smith has not plunged since the 70s.
Yeah, that's, I feel exactly the same way, Patrick.
And I love her.
Totally, 100%. Yeah, she hasn't, since 1977, she stopped. She was
after
just like,
she made
this,
California
I'm paying
sweet.
Somebody.
She made California Sweet with Michael Caine, and she said,
that was
never
it.
Again.
That's it. That's over. Because Michael Caine took a large dump. She had to plunge it and not happy about it. Done.
All right. So you went with Dench. Did you saw me?
Yes. Yeah.
Dench to Stench. No.
That's the bottom line. Is you went Dench.
That's the bottom line. Yes.
Yeah.
There's a moment. Numbers.
Oh my God. What did
somebody
exciting.
Called Judy? Somebody called Judy, please. That guy came back for no reason at all.
This is such an exciting finish, everybody. I can't believe it.
What is it? What is it?
You're going to love it. Everybody was right about Maggie Smith.
Yes.
Yeah, she got a mere 8% of the vote.
That's high.
Wow.
Yeah. I thought I saw an episode of Downton Abbey where she had to abdicate the toilet, but I guess that is it the same thing. Also, coming up right behind Maggie in this poll was, in fact, Sir Ian McKellen with 26% of the vote. So it's nice to see two ladies beating out a man in a wheelchair. So, John, that brings you to a total of 79 points. Coming in second place in the poll was a dame. So that's suspenseful saying dame again, because they're all dames that are left. Dame Helen Mirren.
What?
Pardon me. I screwed this up. You were right to say what? Because Dame Judi Dench came
number two.
Wait, this is like Moonlight La La Land. You can't just come back.
It's so close, though. It's so close.
Oh, are they really close? Are they neck and neck?
It's so close.
Steve Harvey at the Miss Universe contest. What's going on here?
Dench got 31%.
Dench is Dench.
And Dame, that you can smell the stench. But Mirren wins the mirror ball because Helen Mirren got 35% of the vote.
Wow.
But the 35 on Paget's score of 47 brings her to 72. But the 31 that Tommy just got in addition to his 71 previous points brings him to 102. John finishes at 79. Tommy McNamara, you are our winner today. Congratulations.
Wow. Oh, you did it.
You did it, Tommy.
I somehow won.
Yes.
Yeah, Tommy, you did it.
Good job, Tommy.
Good job, thank Tommy.
You. And that means, Tommy, you get to promote yourself first. Go ahead and do your plugs, sir.
Okay, cool. I've got an album you can check out on A Special Thing Records called Who's Tommy? And if you're in New York, I'll be co-headlining Stand Up New York on June 22nd.
All right.
Nice.
Stand Up New York. I started comedy there.
No way.
That was one
really?
Of the clubs that I started at.
Oh, that's awesome.
Did fucking wow, Jesus! There's a great pizza place right around the corner.
Ooh, I'll have to check that out.
Is it still there? Yeah. I'm wondering. Stand Up New York, I love it.
Hey, you know who might know if it's still there?
Who?
Saul, ring him up.
Saul, is the pizza place still there in the Upper East Upper West Side, right on Broadway? Like 75th Street.
Hey, Tommy, can you come back next week? Same bat time, same bat Zoom call.
I think I will be able to. I'll have to get back to you over email.
I'm going to mark you down for a maybe then.
And yeah, I'm a
terrific
maybe,
job
to
today.
Yeah,
thank you did
you
a
so
great
much.
Job today. Very
so
nice
fun.
To have you on the show, and you'll be back regardless. But as the ongoing champion, you do have the option to come back next week. But also, I like leaving people in suspense as to whether or not you will. Padgett Brewster, what a tremendous addition you've been to the show these last few episodes.
It was a good run.
So much fun. Yes. I'm doing live episodes in front of an audience over at that place we did that show that one time.
Dynasty
Typewriter.
When?
I'll hit you up with some dates. We'd love to have you out for a live one.
I would love to.
But what would you like to promote at this time?
June 19th, the second season of Bird Girl starts on Adult Swim. DiMaggio, are you in it?
Bird Girl? No.
Are you in Bird Girl at all? Oh, no. Why not? That's a problem.
Hey, McNamara, are you in it?
Not yet. I haven't gotten a call.
LGBTQ thriller, horror, comedy, romance movie I did called Hypochondriac starring Zach Villa will be in theaters this summer, but I don't know when. So check it out. I'm in it.
Yeah,
too.
That's still pretty cool. It's going to be in theaters.
I just don't know when. No one's told
me. Sometime this summer. Yeah. I mean, you know. People can look it up, figure it out. And I don't know what kind of timeline people listen to these on. You know, somebody might listen to this a couple of months from now. It'll be perfect timing.
Yeah.
You know, they're catching up on the podcast. They're like, oh, shit. Hey. That's out now, according to this speculation. Because it's summer. That's another thing they keep saying is Summer of Tina and Summer of Gene. They keep referring on Bob's Burgers movie about it being the summer of their own name, which is a funny thing, especially coming out of a little kid. John DiMaggio.
Thanks.
Pleasure to have you back.
Second place. I'll take it.
Second place is, you know,
that's all right.
Way so, better than how Padgett did.
Padgett, you had a
I thought you
left.
I thought you were gone.
I had a good run.
Yeah, you really did. I expect big things from you in the upcoming Tournament of Champions.
Yeah, all right.
John, do you have anything you'd like to plug?
Sure. I got doing a couple of episodes of Interview with the Vampire on AMC.
Are you serious? You were in Louisiana?
October. Yeah, that's I think it's coming out in October, which is
great. My God, so, I'm so excited for you. That's amazing.
Yeah, thank you. It's pretty cool. A couple episodes of that and did a couple episodes of Perry Mason. So the next season of Perry Mason I'll be in.
Jeez, Jim.
Yeah, the same mustache. I had an old-timey mustache, and it totally worked.
So you're a cop in both. You're a cop both times?
No, actually. not a cop. Thank you. It was a lot of fun. But I also but Futurama is coming around again, 2023 on Hulu. We got Disenchantment on Netflix. That stuff is coming out soon. The new stuff for that show. God, what else?
Holy no, shit. Stop there. That's enough.
Yeah, I already you don't feel really like shit.
No, there's, yeah, there's.
No, no more. Yeah. Just okay. Stay there.
Loud House on Nickelodeon.
Stop
if, it. You know, got kids.
Quit it.
Yeah, nah, it's been a good shit. It's been a good year, God damn it. I'm on a hustle. People
jealous.
Are like, we kind of like your face again. Why do you? Where have you been with your fat face? We want your fat face over here.
Wow, I can't believe that the casting director of Interview with a Vampire talks like that. But
yeah, no, that's in the back of my mind.
Everybody, I'm really looking forward to that. That's
I am too.
I've seen a tease for it on the. I think it's going to be a way to make people get AMC Plus because I think you're going to premiere there and then like, you know,
something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's gonna be sneaky. But it's exciting and it's going to be really, really good. I mean, the guy playing, the guy playing Louie, is a wonderful actor, Jacob Anderson, who was what's his face in Game of Thrones? The, leader. Of the
Army. Yes. I don't know. I don't know.
Wait, was he Grey Worm?
Grey Worm, yes.
Yeah.
Grey Worm. Thank you very much.
He's really
good. Playing Louie.
Yeah.
He's playing Louie. And he's absolutely unbelievable. And the guy playing Lestat's name is Sam Reed. And he's fucking phenomenal. And it's just, and Eric fucking Bogosian's in it. Holy shit. He's the fucking interviewer. It's fucking awesome.
All right, I'll watch it.
Yeah, but I'm just excited to be in that company. So it's
Well, thank you for being here, John. And
thank you for having me, though.
Yeah, come anytime. Back and talk about that when it comes out, because you say it's like the fall, right?
Yeah, totally.
October. Yeah, perfect. It's perfect for fall. This could be awesome.
Spooky.
I got DougLovesMovies.com, DougLovesMovies on Twitter. I got another podcast called Wide World of Doug. So check an episode of that out. Lots of people. I actually got to get Padgett's done it, but I'd love to have Tommy and John do that show. Love John, us. John, you've just been so busy. I can't, I've got all these shows that I want you to do.
Now I got nothing to do. Give me a call.
Okay, perfect.
Now it went cold.
Perfect. Thanks again to Tommy McNamara, John DiMaggio, and Padgett Brewster. And as always, I end every episode with the last line from a movie. And I think this one is super appropriate. And it goes like this. Tell them to let us off this bloody plane.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of Gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart for you, cause Doug loves movies.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.